All right, so should we just do the same kind of intro as the last time?
Yeah.
Okay. And this one is called Doug's Dog's Date, right?
Doug's Dog Date and Doug's Big Nose. Oh, I'm in hell.
Are you ready?
Funny.
Expensive.
Wanna.
Whatever.
Be happy.
Hey everyone, welcome back to The Funny Papers, a show where three 30-somethings share a collective psychosis about the classic 90s cartoon show, Doug. I'm Mike, and with me are my friends Sam.
Dear Journal, it's me, Sonic the Hedgehog.
And Jim.
Doug's dog fucks.
Today we will find that out while we cover episode 3 of Doug. In all episodes after the first, Doug was separated into two 12-minute shorts, and episode 3... Part 1's title is Doug's Dog's Date. So, the first note that I have for this one is right on the opening, right when we start, is just all caps. I just wrote Baby Doug because it's Doug as a baby wearing a cowboy hat and a diaper riding Pork Chop, who is also wearing a diaper.
All diaped up, baby. Let's go.
Also, you have to note that Pork Chop has not changed in size since Doug was a baby.
He's also, like, how fucking old is he? Doug is 11 now, and Pork Chop was presumably, like, 1 year old at this time, too.
He's probably 9 or 10, which means he's got, like, 2 years left in him. Like, seriously, that's in my notes. Like, we had a joke about Pork Chop getting put down, but that's gonna happen, like, within the span of Doug.
That's like the season finale,
right? It's when Disney takes over.
The first thing they do is just kill the most intelligent character in the show. That'll stop them. They replace them with Mickey Mouse.
Also,
I require blood.
Also, should note here that he's riding a puppy like a horse. Like, the parents just let him ride the dog.
And at the same time, like, he's riding through, like, a party. Like, he's riding through, like, there's a bunch of adults that are, like, standing around being like, oh, so cute.
And they gave Doug a baby cowboy hat. Like, I could only conclude that Jim Jenkins' parents had themselves a fucking time while he was a small child. Because what in the name of God?
He also, at one point, he takes his cowboy hat off and does a little how do you do, partner. And under there, he has one hair. And so in 11 years, he has grown about 8 hairs.
8 times the rate. That means by the time he's 60, he will have 6,000 hairs.
the extended
that math
universe.
Works. Don't fucking look it up. Don't look it up.
Yeah, the extended universe.
Perfectly
of Doug.
Evenly distributed around his face. He will simply be a hair orb.
Hairy Doug.
Hairy Doug. Hairy Doug.
Is your name really Hairy Doug? That's going to be dated as hell.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, I don't get it.
It's a very online thing, and Mike is blissfully offline.
I mean, okay, some of you listening might think that I'm one of the most online people you know, because I've gotten that before, but...
There are depths you people do not comprehend and do not wish to.
Yeah, so is, when you say do not wish to, is this something you want to go into, or should we just leave it at that? Okay, don't Google it. Just I don't even know what it is. I'm not going to Google it.
You won't find anything. It was a thing on Twitter. Like, even now, it's probably kind of old.
Oh my God. Okay, back to Doug. So when he's doing this, his first statement is as far back as I can remember. I think it was just like Pork Chop and I have been best friends, right?
Yes.
So he can also remember his being born, right? I mean, Doug is a savant.
Doug has seen the inside of his mother's vagina,
and it changes a man.
Yeah, it makes a Doug.
Yeah.
Look, I'm normal, okay?
I'm not normal.
Doug. I am normal.
Everyone's normal.
We're all completely normal sitting here doing a podcast about Doug.
Don't ask me any more questions. Next thing.
Next caller. Okay, so we move out of this scene of Doug recalling being friends with Porkchop, and we go, it just cuts to him on a porch, and he's with his banjo, and he starts singing a song.
Oh, my doggone dog's done doggone gone.
It's the first instance of Doug singing a song, and this will happen again and again as the series progresses.
Oh,
I gotta tell you, none of them are good.
Yeah.
I have them all in my head right now. And
so I have a couple of them, too.
I don't, and I do not look forward to correcting that.
Give it time, Jim.
I have a very important question, though. Why does Doug have a banjo?
Because he plays banjo.
Like, you could at least give him, the kid, a shitty guitar if you're going to be helping his musical interests. But no, kids these days have so much more advantages than we did. For example, I didn't have a banjo. I consider this a bad thing.
Dude, banjos are sweet. Can I do a quick aside into like real life here and tell you a thing about banjos?
Yeah.
All right.
Of course. Now banjo podcast.
Yeah, this is a banjo podcast. Everyone change the channel. When I was in like third or fourth grade or something, I desperately wanted to play the banjo. Like it was like the thing that I like wanted to do. And this was at the time when in school you would have to pick whether you were going to be in band or in strings. And so my thought was, hey, banjo is a string. I wonder if they put banjos in the string orchestra. And so my mom asked.
This is the most Mike story I've ever
heard. Yeah. Turns out, they don't. So, that day my banjo career ended. And here I am.
That's so good. Just you walking up to the symphony orchestra and be like, I'm going to play the banjo. You're not even from the South. Like, what the fuck? What was your attraction to this instrument?
It was cool.
He wanted to be a cowboy.
Yeah. I wanted to ride a puppy around and wave my hat.
And get sad when your puppy fucks.
Right. Spoilers, dear reader. Porkchop fucks in this episode. Anyway, that was a quick aside into the kind of people
we
are.
I'm proud of you.
We're all proud here. We're all definitely not adding it to a file of your crimes.
Thank you. Thank you. My permanent record. Which will become a theme in Doug at some point. No, I'm serious. His permanent record is something that gives him a lot of anxiety.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Obviously. Okay.
Christ.
It's the one thing of permanence in Doug's life. Okay. So, what happens... Back to hell and Doug. Doug is singing and playing about his dog being gone, and Roger rolls up and says,
Hey honey, are you in pain? Sounds like you're howling at the moon.
Which I have to give the show credit. That's pretty canonical. That's a 13-year-old attempting to burn somebody, but not understanding how insults work.
Just face planting. If he's talking to anyone that had like a competent response, he would just get owned himself, but he's talking to Doug, so Doug's just like, very funny, Ryan.
Yeah. So like, okay.
Also, wait. Does Roger live next door to Doug? Because he just like rolls up to his house all the time. Like he's done it twice since we started recording this podcast.
So I have this written down as like, I think, okay, Roger just like rolls up into Doug's backyard just like all the time, right? He just like arrives.
Yeah.
And so what I think, Roger is like the muse or like the Greek chorus of this show, right? Like Roger is the inciting action in literally everything that is any plot point of Doug. It's always Roger.
And I also just remembered that Roger lives in a trailer park.
Right, does so he's he? Definitely yeah. not next door. Yeah,
I don't think he does yet. That hasn't been established yet.
It hasn't been. Absolutely has not been established yet. But he does, unless he moves into a trailer park just for that one episode, which I wouldn't put it past the writers. Of the show.
Once he becomes that, we'll see if that changes anything. I suspect the answer is no. But for now, at least, okay. This is my side note, actually, from the next episode, but it's applicable here since we're bringing it up. Like, a common feature in historical dramas and similar works is the composite character. Somebody who wasn't in the original story or was actually several different people, or in some cases is just there to represent an entire group that didn't have an individual input, but serves as the voice of systemic forces. For those of you who watched Game of Thrones, that's the role that Varys plays most of the time. He's not really a character, he's the voice of the institutions, all the various non-royal stakeholders who don't really care about who wins the game, but they've got a lot of information, they got a lot of ability to put the right word in the right ear, and just want someone to win it so they can stop worrying about wars or ice zombies fucking up their neat little order. Roger is best understood along the same lines. There is no Roger Plotts. There was never a Roger Plotts. But he has no parents, he has no siblings, he probably doesn't even have a cat. But to simplify Jim Jenkins' life, Doug Funny has consolidated every person who has ever made fun of him or made him feel insecure into a single agent of pure, inexplicable malevolence who is summoned into being anytime he's feeling kinda eh about something. Which is why there are like five people in Bluffington with names. Roger is a consolidation of all of them.
So this is like, Roger is like in Battlestar Galactica when Six shows up in Gaius Baltar's mind all the time. That's Roger for Doug.
Yes, Roger may not actually exist. Roger may just be a thing that we're verging on some Fight Club bullshit here. But Roger is this, the amalgam of all Doug's fears and concerns, and understandably is considerably larger than Doug as a result.
I buy it.
Man. Yeah, I'm totally into that. Let's keep that in mind as we, like, you know, interact with other characters and see if Roger's also in their minds.
I mean, yes. the edgelord theory, because I was doing Doug Googling this weekend while I was at work, and the edgelord theory is that, like, Mr. Dink is dosing Doug with LSD, which causes all of his, like, imaginations, which doesn't make sense, because his imaginations would be cool if that was That's not what's happening. Get off. Look, you have to get on our level, edgelords. You're just on the baby level. We're the fucking postgraduate students in Dougism. Come on. You got to bring your A game with us.
Listen up, class.
School is in session. Now let's discuss Doug's psychosexual pathology as relating to his fucking dog.
You're all in detention and have to listen.
Also, please don't go.
Right, yeah, please. We need you.
And we need people to hear this.
We need people to validate this. Anyway, so he says, like, deserted by your own dog, what a loser. But, like, at this time, like, that's extra shitty because, like, his dog might just be lost, right? Or, like, dead. And Roger's just like, what a loser, your dog died. Right?
Can't even take care of your own dog, idiot.
I mean, on the other hand, Roger is someone who can somehow make his cat hang around him at all times as he wanders around town, so
he walks his cat psycho.
He walks his cat, which is psycho. On the other hand, his cat actually stays on top of him at all times, which suggests there is, again, something weird and supernatural going on, because that's not possible. You can't do that. Don't at me.
Because the cat is the inverse of Porkchop.
Oh.
I'm not sure on that, but we'll touch more on that theory later. I like where you're going with it, but
I have more. Unfortunately, I have more knowledge because there's also there's also an episode where the cat's name is Stinky. Stinky fucks.
Oh, hell yeah.
Stinky also fucks in a later episode.
A stinky cat fucks, you say. Uh-huh. And Doug has anxiety about this, you say.
Oh, it's very bad. It's when is it? He's taking care of the cat. We'll get there.
Oh,
God. Gentle viewer, you can already see where this is going.
It's going to stinky cat fucking town.
We're going to the pet fuckhole, boys and girls.
Welcome aboard, Choo Choo.
Well, that's the title of this podcast. Sort it out.
Anyway.
Let's do this.
Let's do it. Let's get started. So, okay, then Doug says, sometimes Roger can be such a pain, but in this case, he was right. And like,
Doug.
No, like, this is like, I mean, he technically is right that your dog is missing, but like, I don't know. Like, that seems like such a strange statement.
He's giving him credit for bullying him.
And that's what Doug has always been doing. He's like giving him credit and like being like, yeah, I mean, you're my friend. So what you're saying is just trying to help me, right?
Stand
like,
that's up for yourself, man. Come on. That should be the lesson once. It's never the lesson.
It's never the lesson.
Doug, Roger has been nice to you sort of once ever.
When?
And it was as you were being led into the principal's office. Because Roger fooled you into thinking that was going to be a bad thing.
You committed a felony.
Because he tricked you into thinking you committed a felony.
That's the true. One time he's ever been nice to you, and you're still... This is never not going to stop, is it?
No, obviously not, because he's the muse. Okay, so is this the point... Like, I kind of, just totally blanked here, and I'm not sure what happens next. Out. Is this the part where they do the
intro
flashback?
Card happens.
The
intro card happens, and then we see the, like, look, Porkchop, it's the Mr. Swirly truck.
Right,
and the dog and Porkchop's eyes are rolled back in his head, his mouth is open in a smile, his tongue is lolling out, and his ass is hanging in the air.
Just like when
this
I
is
fuck.
Some, yeah, this is some weird porn nonsense. Like, that's just, what the, nobody involved in this had seen a dog. I'm not sure what they were using for their reference material, because what the fuck?
Yeah, well, and,
Doug then follows up by repeating,
Porkchop, it's Mr. Swirly, the Peanutty Buddy Man!
Which, that sure is a series of syllables.
That's how I want people to refer to me, the Peanutty Buddy Man. Actually, strike that. No one call anyone that ever.
FBI, open up!
Yeah. Oh, shit. We gotta end this now. Fuck. So, yeah. So, Doug, he's like, hey, yeah, I know what'll cheer him up. I'll go get him some ice cream. And he gives him... He tries to get Porkchop chocolate ice cream.
Like, actually... This is actually harmful to kids. Like, if you show a character giving a dog chocolate, the kid's going to do that. Come on! It's supposed to be for kids. You're going to murder... How many dogs have died because of this? I want to know that.
Jenkins, what's your body count?
Hashtag Jim Jenkins body count.
How much dog blood do you have on your hands, Jim Jenkins?
Purely from the Peanutty Buddy.
God damn! Like, I had to pause it when that happened, because I immediately messaged you, Mike, and said, I was like, hey, is chocolate poisonous to dogs? Because I couldn't believe it in my head.
Right. And we were like, I think so, and looked it up. And, like, at the time, you didn't offer context.
Yeah.
But then I watched it later, and I was like, oh, okay, that's what he was talking about.
So I'll be completely fair on that one. Chocolate is poisonous to dogs, but they've got to eat like a whole fucking bunch of it before it's poisonous to them. That said, dogs don't really understand the concept of not eating thing. So if you like leave out a brick of Hershey's, that'll kill one. A chocolate ice cream cone is not good for them, but it's not going to fucking kill them.
Right. So like, I guess the defense here is that it's a peanut butter flavored ice cream, but there's never been a peanut butter ice cream that didn't also have chocolate in it.
This
like,
is true.
Like, I know Doug's psycho, but it's not, you're not, not even Doug is psycho enough for have like Jif flavored ice cream.
Like, yeah.
It's just straight up peanut butter in a cone.
Right.
Oh, God. I'm just picturing that because Doug would absolutely have, it's just, peanut butter in a cone, pork chop.
Just dips it in mayonnaise.
Peanutty
Buddy, man.
Anyway, pork chop's not interested in the poison ice cream. And Doug comments, pork chop was sick. Big time. And so we adjourn now to the home for infinite losers in Doug's imagination. Now with two beds and a load of wires.
Yeah, he imagines Get Out, like, as with a dog instead of, like, humans.
Yep.
Like, that's his, my dog's sick? We better do a brain transplant?
Yeah.
The first historic boy-to-dog transfusion is a resounding success. Well, son, how do you feel?
No, they fuck up the joke because it should be Doug making barking sounds and Porkchop's voice actor talking as Doug. Instead, they just do the laziest thing possible and have Doug talk out Porkchop's mouth. Doesn't make any sense even in the context of a fucking cartoon.
Here's a doggy delight, says Porkchop in Doug's voice, handing Doug a bone as the doctors cheer.
Does Porkchop inherit Doug's taste buds? Then he wouldn't like the fucking bone. Like, none of it is, it's like so bad, but like carefully, it's like they constructed it to be as bad as possible.
Tentative theory as of this moment. Remember okay. Back in the first episode when four people and a dog crossed into Bluffington and the counter only went up by four?
Correct.
The main character is not Doug, it is Porkchop.
Yeah.
Porkchop acts. Porkchop has things happen to him and does things to other characters. Meanwhile, Doug just kind of sits there, has fantasies about a world far beyond his comprehension that are wrong in baffling ways, and occasionally humps Patty Mayonnaise's leg. I think you can
this actually
get some
happened.
Gas out of that one. Like,
this imagination sequence actually happened before the show started.
Yeah, like, Doug isn't... If you treat Doug as the family dog and Porkchop as the rambunctious younger kid, it kinda tracks a little better. Not least in that, for some reason, Porkchop is allowed at school.
So what's really funny about this episode, like, just overarching, is that it's called Doug's Dog Date, but it's never from Porkchop's perspective. Like, everything that happens in this episode happens to Porkchop, and all we see is Doug getting sad about it. Like, not doing anything about it whatsoever, just his react. Like, Doug is both meek and narcissistic at the same time. It's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Doug has a Doug exists within himself and has no sense of empathy. All things are only meaningful insofar as they impact Doug. Which, okay, I'll be fair.
It's called Doug.
He is. Yeah, he's 11 years old. The show is about him. There are 11-year-olds who do the whole retreat into themselves, only understand, like, that's
yes, 11-year-olds.
Fully understandable as a thing that happens. If you don't get out of that, that's when the real horrible pathology shit starts.
I mean, in the cartoon show The Simpsons, there are characters that takes the perspective of that aren't The Simpsons. This is a literary device that has been used before.
Yeah.
It was invented by The Simpsons?
Yes, this is the first time. God damn it.
Prior to The Simpsons, it was impossible to portray... Actually, that you could actually go a pretty fair amount on that one, because prior to The Simpsons, it was not possible to portray suburban life as anything other than the ideal.
Yes.
And
that's a podcast for another time.
Anyway, moving on back to definitely the very concerned with other people main plot. Doug takes his dog to the vet. His parents are not involved in this process because I assume Dr. Dorsal just works on credit. And just says, okay, he won't eat, he can't sleep, and he acts strange. Dr. Dorsal tells Doug, well, I can't see anything wrong with him. Why don't you be a dog detective? And Doug says detective in that same horrifying, all 12 neurons in my brain are getting together for a huge party. And...
Well, hold up. Yeah, like, this is the first piece of good advice Doug's ever received. It's like, hey, I need more information. Because, like, those are legitimate problems for a dog. If the dog won't eat or won't sleep or whatever, right? Like, that is key that your dog might be unhealthy. And so it's just like, hey, why don't you watch him and see what might be the problem?
Yeah, that'll be $600. So what I noticed, and I'm not a veterinarian, so maybe I'm, like, stepping out of my bounds here, but... Why didn't the vet neuter the dog? Why didn't it ever happen? You're supposed to neuter your pets.
I think it was a recommendation, but it wasn't like a, oh, you
and
brought
And we are
your...
in suburban Republican territory, and it's entirely possible that there's no way in hell Doug's dad would permit someone to take his precious pork chops masculinity.
Look, my dog's got fuck.
My dog will be able to fuck. This is important to me for reasons.
It's also possible. Look, I mean, maybe we've already established the Porkchop's the smartest character in the show. Maybe he just wants to fuck. He doesn't want to, like, have puppies.
He just wants to have a testicle-less boner.
Yeah. Or maybe he just wants a loving relationship with
That's
someone
not possible.
Oh.
Parody, not actionable.
Now that is actually an interesting thing we could touch on in the future. Is there anything in this show that is a healthy romantic relationship?
Absolutely not. Especially not his parents.
Yeah, all we ever see of his parents is them just like laying in bed reading the newspaper,
giving
like,
very half-hearted advice.
Oh, Jesus. But in any case, after he says dog detective, there is a very brief Dragnet parody, which, again, puts you a wonderful set in the time. And there's just the line, my name's Funny, I tail dogs. And in any other show, that could be a joke. And in this one, it just kind of, well, you sure said that.
When somebody needs their dog tailed, they come to me. My name's Funny, I tail dogs.
Now, I have, like, four lines on this. So, first off, who is a Dragnet parody for? Because, like, Dragnet has a very distinctive theme that they fuck up. And, like, maybe it's for their parents, right? But the extent of the joke is, hey, this is Dugnet instead of Drag... or Dognet instead of Dragnet. Like, in Animaniacs or Tiny Toons, you'd have, like, jokes for adults, like characters of celebrities, but the celebrities would like look funny. There'd be something to it. This is just like, hey, do you remember Dragnet? Well, we're going moving on.
It was a
what is Dragnet for our viewers who don't know what it is, and not me.
It was an early cop show, like one of the predecessors.
It was on for like 20 years, first as radio and then as like a TV show. You've probably seen parodies.
You know how Law and Order has been on for since the dawn of time and will be the last sound heard when the universe dies?
Yes.
Dragnet was that for our parents' generation.
Like, why didn't they use Sherlock Holmes? Like, it's lowest common denominator, but it's at least on the same intellectual level as fucking Dragnet.
I think it's because they were just like, what is something that starts with D, like dog does. Like, I think that's literally the joke.
Yeah, there. Mike, you're on the right wavelength for this conversation.
I think it's half that and the fact that they wanted to make the pun of I tail dogs, right?
I...
dog
good one,
tails.
Doug.
Thanks.
Fantastic.
Thanks. I got it's a real thinker.
It's just fascinating because the banality is so complex. You have to jump through a couple of hoops to get to something that wouldn't be funny if it had been directly said.
And they fuck up every part of it. Like I said, Dragnet has a very distinctive theme, and they don't even get close.
Parody. Oh, man. Okay, so he has this fantasy, and then he starts actually following Porkchop, and he uses the phrase, tailing my dog has become an obsession, after doing it for like 3 hours. Where he's following Porkchop, and he's like taking like copious notes about everything Porkchop
like,
was doing.
It feels like that should be a joke, but where's the joke?
Right, it's just, this is
that reminds
he, this
me
is
of
life.
A joke.
This is the reflection of a joke. It's like taking a photograph of the photograph. Oh, shit. But, yeah, so he's following Porkchop, and he's, like, writing down everything. Porkchop is like listening to, like, sappy music or something, and he's, like, dancing around and just, like, lounging around on park benches and stuff. A bunch of fellow classmates of Doug roll up, and they ask Doug if he wants to play beatball. And this is, well, Patty specifically asks him if they want to play beatball. And one of these people in the group is Roger. So, like, Roger's friends with people.
No. Let me make it entirely clear. There are four people. They are the four people who exist in his class who are not Skeeter or Doug. They are Roger, Patty, the guy you've told me is Chalky who hasn't been named yet, and Bebe. Those are the four people who exist.
There's one more. She doesn't get it. She gets extended universe. Like,
in the Doug Cimmerillion. Yes. There's more.
Yeah, but there's only the four people in this one. And Patty says, come play beatball with us. Not baseball, beatball. A giant paddle or bat is present. And I have to wonder in this moment, are we finally to the cock and ball torture episode?
Give it time.
Come on, says Patty. I need one more on my side. There's four people right now. Five makes it an odd number. What the fuck kind of game is beatball? What are the sides in beatball? What kind of weird fucking game are you playing?
Jim, you never played beatball?
Except for, why do they call it beatball then?
Because everything in this universe is named beat so-and-so. Like, Jenkins has, like, some obsession with beats. And as someone who has recently realized that beats are, like, pretty good, like, I mean, I get it, but...
Get out.
We'll do what we can for you, sir, but I'm afraid it's terminal.
I think I can't decide if Jenkins loves or hates beets. I can't tell.
Their nature's candy, don't you know?
He loves them.
You're so funny, Peter. Also, he's letting his dog just roam around the park without a leash on. Like,
yeah, that's illegal. Sir, I'm from Dognet. I've come to arrest you.
Down the ground!
Officer's bat discharged into a dog. The dog did not survive.
So anyway, Doug stops concentrating for 1 second, for one fraction of a split fucking second on Porkchop to, like, get a boner about Patty, and then Porkchop runs off. He just darts off, and Doug chases him, and this was, I guess, the moment that Porkchop knew that he had to go and meet his new girlfriend outside her house. So Doug, like, chases this dog down, and while Porkchop is, like, sitting outside of a house, who else but the Dinks roll up? And Mr. Dink is wearing an outfit that is more or less, like, a Fitbit, right? Like,
he's wearing this, like, Apple Watch.
Right, he's the inspiration behind, like, the Apple Watch and the Fitbit and stuff, because it was, like, telling him his exercise statistics.
Yeah, like, the whole joke is that he's hooked into this crazy contraption that lets him see his stats for going for a walk, which was an awful lot funnier of a joke before it was how literally every exercise program worked.
So Mr. Dink is a revolutionary. Mr. Dink is inspiring fitness people for generations.
Mr. Dink is Steve Jobs.
Fight me.
He'll die of pancreatic cancer in 20 years.
After trying to treat it with very expensive fruit juice.
So the Dinks are just, like, rolling up, and they just happen to hang out with Doug as he watches Porkchop start, like, howling at this house. And when he does it, the sexy dog comes out of the second story window onto, like, a personal balcony and starts, like, provocatively dancing for Porkchop.
And sexy sax music plays.
You know it's a girl dog because she has a pixie cut.
And the house is pink.
And the dog is pink.
Evidently, the dog is the only thing that lives in this house.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's the other thing I wrote down. It's like, Doug doesn't even think to ask who owns this dog.
Yeah.
Like, all the worries that he had about Porkchop being out late and stuff that happens later, he could just be like, hey, maybe somebody else lives in this house with this dog.
Yeah, and it's a small enough town. He probably knows this person.
It's probably Patty.
Right? Odds are pretty good.
That would be Doug's perfect in. Be like, hey, our dogs are fucking.
It's worked for us. It'll probably work for Doug.
So they're just, like, hanging out outside of this person's home with a howling dog and someone, like, in like a spacesuit talking about fitness. And Doug says,
"Fitness Dickin." Sorry.
That's what Porkchop is saying in dog language. So Doug asks Mr. Dink, he's like, hey, what do I do? Porkchop's here, like, howling at this dog. I think he's sick. And Mr. Dink's like, oh, I think your dog is having puppy love, right? He's like,
no, your dog is sick. Yeah, love sickness. And Mr. Dink chortles to himself, puppy love. Which is exactly the kind of joke Mr. Dink would find absolutely gut-bustingly hilarious. So I'll give him some props for that.
It's pretty good. So Doug asks Mr. Dink, he's like, so what do I do? In, like, the most psychotic question ever. He says, what should I do about my dog liking someone else?
Gotta put him down.
Yeah. Mr. Dink's terminal. Like, I've got this very expensive gun. No, in fact, Dink says, and I wrote this out because I don't really know what this means. He says, like I always say, do what any best friend would do. If you go with the flow, you'll always come out in the wash. What does that mean?
He fucked up two sayings there, and they fucked the sound up on it too, so it's barely comprehensible. Like, the sound mixing, at least the version I saw, had him just, like, trail off, so you could barely... Yeah, like, yes. I had to rewind it to hear the second part. And the second part was, oh, he misunderstood the a common saying. That's
Wait,
it.
So what is the common saying, and what does he mean by it? What I'm trying to say is, what did he intend to say? And then, based on what he actually said, what do you think that means?
I don't know,
his
man.
Meaning is... I can give you his meaning easy, because it's been the moral of every Doug from that we've seen thus far... Don't worry about it. Right. Just sit back, relax, and trust to God to save you.
But, like, in this instance, he's right. So the direction that Dink is giving here is to just roll with it. Like, to just let things work itself out. And I think in this instance, he's correct. Like,
yeah, this is the first time that that's actually been the good advice to give Doug.
It's like, be a friend, support your friend with some like new person, or in this case, dog that he likes, right?
Do not try to stop this. It's kind of a waste of your effort.
Don't stop your friend getting his dick wet.
Right. So Doug takes that advice initially, right? And he's like, all right, I'll help Porkchop get with this other dog. And he, like, prepares him for a date, and he gives him a musky man aftershave, which has the subtext on it of the smell of a musk ox, which I assume is good.
Sexy for dogs.
Very
sexy. He just slaps it on the dog's face. And I didn't look this up, but, like, I wrote in my notes, this is probably poisonous, too.
The second poison thing.
Right.
Because you gotta put him down.
When it comes to Porkchop and Porkchop alone, Doug can actually do things. Stupid, counterproductive things, but he can do things. This is more fodder for my theory. This is like a dog trying to get its owner laid. The same comprehension of what's going on is here.
Right. I think it's also like a... It's kind of supposed to be like a parental scene where he's like, be home by 10. And, you know, here's what I think is good when I was your age, you know?
Yes, they'll start hitting that theme harder in the rest of the episode. But,
and then, oh, like, God. When Porkchop is leaving, like, Doug shakes his hand, which is like a very, very Hank Hill move.
Yes.
Right. I forgot about that. Right. Yeah, he's just like, good luck, son.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah, this is what a support looks like. But then, in probably the most depressing line of Doug yet, Doug says, like, immediately after Porkchop leaves, because it shows the time. It shows the time that Porkchop leaves. It's like 7 o'clock on the dot. And Doug sits down at his desk and goes... in a dark room by himself, and says,
it's 7 o'clock, and here I am, dogless. There's lots of fun things a guy can do by himself.
Am I right, guys? Dog's gonna jack off!
Woo! I don't think Doug's figured that's a thing that exists yet.
Doug is never going to figure out how to jack off. He'll, like, do it wrong somehow.
And then he'll check himself into the hospital.
Right. He'll immediately go to the ER. Saying that pus is coming out of his winky.
Check himself into the ER under the name Jack Bandit. Yeah. What? No, no.
It'd be very funny to see how much money, like, Doug has spent on medical bills in his lifetime. His insurance company would drop him immediately.
Like, if psychiatric help was something that they believed in back in the 90s, Doug would... God.
Well, no, I would hope that there was, because Doug would, like, maybe benefit from that.
Doug's from a very religious family. Doug has occasionally had one-on-one talks with youth pastors. That's definitely it.
True.
And then Doug goes, I know what I'll do. I'll play chess by myself, which is somehow more insane than playing chess with his dog.
Like, yeah. There's a very important...
Because the dog beats him.
Very important question here. What the Doug does ever requires a partner? What does Doug do ever?
Right. Like, just watch TV.
Write in your journal.
Yeah, Doug, no...
God damn it.
None of the things that you do have ever required another person to be present except for to be bullied by Roger and then have anxiety about it.
He just likes his dog watching him.
Just go outside.
Absolutely narcissistic.
Just go outside and have a dark thought for a quarter of a second. Roger will materialize and you'll have something to do.
Right. So I think in this moment, he's like, you know, it's very clearly trying to show that Doug is like a little jealous of Porkchop, but he's not even jealous of Porkchop for having a date, but just having friends, right? Like having someone that he's excited to go
and just
see.
Leaving the house.
Yeah.
Just,
right.
just bananas.
It's so sad.
It's sick. It's sick. Like,
it's just insane. Anyway, he says he will draw. He draws a dog. Yeah, okay, he's all burnt up about that.
I think I'll draw now, he said normally.
Draws
just
a dog
no
in half
one.
A second.
To no yeah. one. And it's a photo, like, based on the animation of the show, it's a photorealistic, like, drawing of Porkchop.
Yes.
Yeah. He's absurdly talented if this is, like, realism in
right.
the show.
And then when we cut to Doug being on all fours and still concerned about how Porkchop isn't coming home yet, I'm surprised he's not scratching at the door and barking.
Right. Oh, man. So this goes on for a while, and then it cuts to him, Porkchop, having another date. Where it's like raining and storming out, and he's like, no, you probably don't want to go because it's bad weather, right? And so Doug is like worrying, and he actually does like watch TV in this one. He like does a solo activity, but he goes and he like gets more worried and more worried. And he goes and talks to his parents, and I feel like his parents who are in bed, like reading, and I feel like you guys both have opinions on this scene.
Yes.
You first, Jim.
All right.
Yeah, Jim, go.
First, now Doug's parents exist and not when they were taking the dog to the vet. Weird. Two, all of Doug's interactions with his parents make a lot more sense when you realize he's the dog and Porkchop is their actual son. This is just the dog is making whining noises, presumably because the son is not home yet and... Oh, don't worry, I'm sure it'll be fine, boy. Now run off and go to sleep. And then he closes it out with something that is completely and utterly insane.
I don't know. May I be excused?
From this audience I have requested with you.
Max and Gabe, well, like, I had to pause the episode when that happened.
Like, what the fuck right, kind of household did Jim Jenkins grow up
There's
in?
Also, like, weird advice statements, as in, like, the dad is just like, yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine. But then he says, I like a boy who worries yes. about his dog. It shows maturity.
Jesus.
That's like if the father turned to the mother and said, I like our son, Doug, and Doug's standing right there.
But they would
Doug's
never
a good
say
boy.
That.
You're right, they would never say that.
Yeah, no, not a chance in hell.
And why wouldn't you say good on you, son? Like, yeah. Address your child instead of just being like, I like a boy who worries about his dog.
Any boy, not you. Like, just like another
yeah, no,
boy.
Of course, not you. Not you. You're a dirty sinner.
I enjoy a fine boy. Whom amongst us?
Anyway, then his mom says, in the piece of great advice that you've come to expect from Doug's parents, is be careful. Worrying can cause little wrinkles in your forehead.
Worry more about
more
worrying, Doug.
Shit.
Oh, shit. Yeah, so anyway, Doug is asked to be excused and then immediately runs outside and is searching for a Porkchop and in the rain. And let me be clear, this is before curfew. This is at like 9:30 and Porkchop was supposed to be home by 10. So like there's no like reason to be worried yet, right? It's before his curfew that he imposed. And then Porkchop comes home.
Oh, wait,
home,
no. Like while this like, is happening, is he just running out into the darkness of the night in confusion and rain and terror? And like, I have in my notes here, God, I hope he runs into the dogs fucking and is traumatized. It wouldn't have happened, but like, that would have actually made me laugh.
Just, like, takes notes. Just like ask some questions.
Also, the bit they're doing is that Doug is an anxious parent whose kid is dating, but this makes so much more sense as a dog being worried about its master. Every part of this plays so much more cleanly if you assume that's what they're going for.
Right. So Porkchop rolls up to the house on time and just like immediately after Doug started searching. Like he's outside of his house still and Porkchop rolls up.
A little bit early.
Like, oh, yeah. He's like a little bit early. And he's like, oh, thank goodness you're home. I was so worried, right? And then he says, and he's being like a total dick about it. And he says to Porkchop, he says, well,
it's her or me? Well, I guess he's choosing me.
And then
so fucked is, up. Like that's then, so yeah, bad.
So
incredibly fucked up and also incredibly bad play, Doug.
Yeah, totally. And then so Porkchop says nothing. He says nothing and walks away. And then Doug goes, well, I guess he chose me. Like, totally, like not like sarcastically. He's just like, oh, I did a good thing. Oh,
cruel and stupid.
Like, if you make somebody pick between Doug Funny and anyone with an identifiable character trait, spoiler, Doug, they don't pick you. Let alone with a chance of doing it in the cards.
Right, you can get your dick wet or hang out with Doug Funny. Huh.
Real poser here, not gonna lie.
Yeah, so with having been chosen, the next morning, Doug wakes up and he's like, oh man, I feel a little bad about being a dick even though I got what I wanted. So let me go give Porkchop some breakfast. Like, that's his like way of, you know, showing that he's sorry is to feed his dog.
When I don't feel good about you, you don't get fed, boy.
Oh, man. Right. This episode is so bad for, like, kids who own dogs.
It's so bad for so many reasons. Or have friends who are dating.
Or have friends, or have ever experienced any kind of romantic inclinations.
Yeah, it's so, like, such poor messaging. But, so he rolls up to Porkchop's house, which, as we've stated before, is, like, a super nice place. It's, like, this igloo with, like, satellite dishes on it and, like, a doorbell. And, like, he closes the door behind himself. So he rings the doorbell to his dog's house. And he's like, hey, I got some breakfast. And wouldn't you know it, Roger is in his backyard again as the Greek chorus.
Doug's ass is poking out of the doghouse. Roger rolls up on this, and Roger, presented with this, decides to rip on the fact that there are dog treats near him. Roger is really bad at being a bully, you guys.
Yeah, he rips on exactly the wrong thing when he has better things that he could rip on him for.
Moving into your new home, huh, Funny? Like, that's
there you go.
You got a joke there, but no.
Jim, you're a natural.
Of course not.
You're a natural at bullying Doug.
We should all just bully Doug. That's, I guess, what this podcast is.
It kind of is, and I still feel a little bad about that sometimes, because, I'm a little
bit cruel
and
stupid.
In this
that.
Episode in particular.
Yeah, there are episodes where Doug's shame feels like it's, no, you feel some sympathy for the guy because, oh God, like, he's just 11 years old and he doesn't know what the hell's going on. This one, yeah, you're being a prick, Doug. A self-centered prick who is also, I can't stress this enough, incredibly stupid.
So, and once again, Roger being, like, the most useful source of information in the show other than Porkchop, Roger's like, yeah, I saw him leave. I guess presumably because he was just hanging out in Doug's backyard
as
all morning.
Does.
But he was like, I saw Porkchop leave with a suitcase. And Doug's like, oh no, he's gone forever. And then we see Doug show up in the park playing chess with Skeeter, his friend. Like, he could have done that the other night when he was lonely. He could have called his friend.
Oh, you know.
Yeah.
But,
well, you know. Yeah. You have to play chess by yourself first before you realize, oh, right, this is a two-player game. That took him 24 hours to process.
Right. This is a game I can play with humans and not dogs. So he's playing chess with Skeeter, and he's like, yeah, I guess Porkchop left me. And Skeeter's immediate response is, you should get another pet.
Can I go into this really hard?
Please, get in there.
I actually broke my brain when this happened.
Yeah,
so it goes into an imagination sequence, and the imagination sequence is spurred on by, well, they're playing a game called Barnyard Chess, and there's a piece that's a fish in Barnyard Chess. For starters,
and a moose.
Okay, and then he sees the fish piece and has an imagination sequence about having a pet lobster. Not a fish, a lobster. And it would be really
lobsters
like, an
are
easy joke.
Fish. Change my mind.
And it's been a really easy joke to have been like, here, boy, fetch. And he throws a stick and it pans to a fish bowl. That would be a joke. But instead, it pans to a lobster. And the payoff is the lobster pinches his nose. Just like a total train wreck. Just absolutely Dadaist humor, but just made to piss me off. Like, specifically designed and every just meticulously designed to piss me off.
The perspective like, is fucked,
it's his
too.
First idea.
Yeah. I hate it. I hate it so much. I hate it with all of my heart.
With all of your might.
Yes.
Yeah, and like there's like weird like sea themed things in the background. Like it's like there's like a chair that's shaped like a seashell in the
it's
background.
Barnyard chess. There's neither of these animals exist on barns.
It feels like this was an artifact.
God damn it!
It feels like this is an artifact left over from some earlier version of the script where there was more of a fish joke being made, or they just had this imagination sequence lying around and they just shotgunned it into the episode for no perceptible reason.
Like, I'm pacing right now. I'm, like, holding my head. Okay, go on. I'm pissed. Oh, my God. Just, the more I think about it, just the more, like, it's like Lovecraftian, man. I'm just descending into it. I can see myself pacing from a third person as I go insane.
I like how the goal of the show in the first place was to get it out so that we don't have problems with the
show. Huge mistake.
Now we're just spreading it.
Anyway.
So Doug doesn't, he's like, no, I'm not going to get a lobster. That's Skeeter.
Also, Skeeter sees the fantasy.
Does he?
Yeah, he's like, okay, never mind.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Skeeter does a good...
So is Doug just narrating this?
Or Skeeter can see beyond the veil. Like, Skeeter does a good job of explaining the cult does not care about Doug's actual part of him that has agency going off and fucking. It will not change his viability for the sacrifices to come. Anyway, midway through playing chess, Doug sees that a game of beatball is already in progress and just runs off to go do there, abandoning Skeeter to learn how to play beatball. There is then an incredibly awkward cut to... We are left to assume it has been some amount of time that he has been playing beatball. Patty is no longer pitching, she is now catching, and we are told...
Boy, Patty, thanks for teaching me how to play beatball.
Yeah, it's a great game. Maybe next time you should bring Skeeter.
Skeeter? Oh no!
Oh no, says Doug, who did not comprehend before this fucking second that, right, this game doesn't seem to have any trouble when an additional person is brought along. Perhaps the person who I left frozen in place playing barnyard chess would enjoy playing this game as well.
The person who demonstrably enjoys athletic activities in other episodes.
Yeah, he tells Skeeter don't move, which is the only command he's ever given on the show.
Yeah, and so, I mean, okay, this is supposed to be like a clear moment of like, oh, I'm doing the same thing that Porkchop is doing of abandoning my friend for a girl.
Yeah.
He's doing it way worse. Like, he's doing it in a way more dickish way.
He tortures Skeeter. This is actually torture that they use in like Guantanamo Bay, is to make people frozen in place for long.
Right, because
he did say
to Skeeter, like, literally don't move. Yeah. Like, Skeeter took it literally.
Yeah,
which I assume there's some very complicated game being played here. And I assume this in no small part because of, at the conclusion of this next bit, Skeeter just sets down his chess piece and chuckles to himself, checkmate.
He also says, it's okay, man, like, about him ditching him for Patty, and he says, beat salad has the same effect on me. A
lot going on here. This entire bit is weirdly discordant. Like, everything up to here, okay, they were just hammering on the same point. Yeah, Doug's dog is horny. Like, this part feels like they just sort of jumbled together 10 minutes of the same plot into 30 seconds, except for those 30 seconds take 10 minutes. It is insane. I'm not sure how they structured this. This is non-Euclidean horse shit.
Yeah, it's like it feels like they ran out of time and they just like smushed. They were like, here's all the plot points we want to hit. Let's hit them in 30 seconds. Boom. Yeah,
imagine fucking up a Doug script. Amazing.
Yeah, we really needed the entire sequence where Mr. Dink explains to Doug in a complicated way that it's your job to help your pet fuck.
Right. Instead of seeing like what actually happened with Porkchop, we have to watch Doug playing chess. Like an animation right. of Doug playing the most boring looking game in the universe.
Right. So, like, okay. Ugh. God. So basically, yeah, okay, so we leave this scene because they realize they're like, oh shit, well, okay, now that I've realized this, hey, maybe Porkchop's just home now, like maybe he's there, and so they go
and
back
so,
to
oh no,
place.
I have to step in there, you know how okay. I just abandoned you and the game we were playing in order to suit my whim, Skeeter? Let's abandon the game we're playing again to suit my whim, Skeeter. Sure, right. says Skeeter.
Sure, but also I win, bitch.
Yeah.
But, so they go back to Doug's place, and Porkchop is in fact there, and he's looking, like, normal. He's all,
heavenly
like,
music plays.
Right. And so, this is the moment in the episode where Doug almost learns something. Where he, like, almost realizes that he's been being a dick this whole time. And he's like, oh, Porkchop is here. I guess he didn't leave me forever. Maybe we can have both. Maybe he can have his girlfriend and friends, right? He almost has this moment.
And the voice of Jim Jenkins as God comes down from the heavens and says, no, bitch. Yeah.
He goes, no, things must be easier for Doug so he doesn't have to learn any lessons. And Porkchop, they see Porkchop's girlfriend walking down the street with another dog with little hearts above his heads. And Doug goes, oh no, she broke up with you. Oh, I guess everything's okay now.
Joy is dead, and so Doug may endure.
So this is a show about morals, about learning a moral. And the moral of this episode is you can be an asshole to your friends and it doesn't matter because they always come crawling back.
Yes, literally, yes.
That's that's what they're teaching the kids.
Yeah.
And this is then reinforced because the Skeeter, Porkchop, and Doug are hanging out on the porch, and then Skeeter runs off and like sees like a girl that is dressed exactly like him, carrying a pizza, which as we know is the perfect woman.
Carrying a flat brown box labeled pizza.
Yeah, that is Skeeter's like ideal person, and
think she's the head of another chapter of the cult.
Probably because she looks.
She's
like
in
Skeeter,
the same costume. This is not a sex thing, at least immediately. This is a matter of. This is actually important, Doug. Unlike your petty foibles, your petty interests, we must discuss matters of grave importance. Honk honk.
Right. So Skeeter runs off, and then Doug's response to this is, oh, don't worry. Sooner or later, he'll be back. So not learning any lesson.
A goddamn thing.
Just saying, oh, I hope, I know my friend will get dumped soon. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, well, he'll be back. Sooner or later, he'll be back.
In time, all things return to me, the center of the universe.
This is the most like mad and sad I've been since we started recording this podcast. Like there's so many just awful lessons for kids for like, a show that's ostensibly about morality.
Like this is like everybody gets up in arms about like the classic examples of toxic masculinity. This is a form of it that does not get enough exposure for just what a pathological fucking mess it is. This is, no, you're the protagonist of reality. All things must inevitably return to you. And if they do not return to you, the universe is broken and must be mended so that again, all things return to you. This is absolutely psychotic. You know that bit in the middle there where Doug ran off to play with Patty?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You notice how Patty didn't ever actually do anything. She's just there. She just exists in proximity to Doug, and Doug treats this as evidence that she is his girlfriend.
Does she even, like, show him how to play the game, or is she just like, oh, you're a natural?
Yeah, it's just a matter of, oh, you're here. As a result of that, Doug is just content. Ah, the universe is as it should be. I am in proximity to this person, I'm pretty sure we'll fuck on Friday.
Let's make
but
an appointment.
No, that will never happen, Douglas.
That will never happen, and it's probably the only part of this show that I can get behind.
Yeah, man. No, it's wild how corrupted the intentions of the morals go. Like, which is like a couple of lines different, and this could have been like a very, like, he could have learned, oh, it's okay that your friends have other friends, you know?
Yeah, it's acceptable for the universe not to revolve around you, but the universe must revolve around Jim Jenkins. The universe revolves around Jim Jenkins. The show is about definitely not Jim Jenkins, and the moral of all things is trust in God, good things happen to good people, and you're a good people, so good things will happen to you.
Parody non-actionable.
By the way, kids growing up listening to this, there's gonna be a hell of a fucking punchline coming for you in 2009.
Yeah. Happy graduation, boys. I really don't have any other closing thoughts other than I'm sad and angry.
I know.
Yeah, this episode fucking sucked.
It's a grim one, man.
It was so sad.
Thankfully, the next one is slightly sillier.
Slightly. There's still some weird shit to dig into, but
there's weird shit, but at least it's more laughably so.
Man. All right, should we call this one and move on to the next?
Closing thoughts. Fucking Christ.
I live in hell.
Be good to your friends.
Be happy.
Be happy.
Kids these days have so many advantages that we didn't. Like a dog that fucks.
Oh, until next time, gentle viewers. Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.